We were not poor. Our family, blue collar, was fading to white. But I did grow up below the hill in Moline. My grandma Pearson, as I think I've shared with you before, supervised the nursery at the Easter Seals Foundation in Rock Island. My grandpa Pearson was the personnel manager at the Rock Island Post Office. My grandma Myers worked for Service Rubber and hung chickens for Tyson when they retired to Arkansas. My grandpa Myers ran two Super Par gas stations. My father worked for the railroad. My mother and stepfather worked in data processing at Farmall, though both had experience on the line, and my stepfather was a union steward. My maternal grandfather and my father served in the Navy. My stepfather was a sergeant in the Marines. None graduated from college. We knew times of plenty. Our home had central air and cable TV early on. I had a black and white TV in my room. I always had a car to drive, though it was inevitably old, and I did the work to keep it running. We knew times of plenty, and with five boys, we knew times of want. There were seasonal layoffs at the Farmall plant. There were strikes. Hamburger gravy and chipped beef gravy were staples, though we never had it as bad as Margie's family. They used powdered milk. We knew times of plenty and times of want, but we were never poor. Today, we are not rich. We live in a modest house. Margie is rebuilding our fence. We have four drivers and two cars, one with almost 200,000 miles. This is the seventh year we have had a child in college, which explains the car. 1 year we had two in college. Our son is a senior, and our daughter just started graduate school. We are looking forward to the day when that last college payment is made, and we hope it comes before retirement. We're looking for the day when that last payment is made and we can begin to really enjoy life in Traverse City to its fullest. We are not rich, but we are far from poor. We have cars to drive. We are able to send our children to college. We do enjoy much of what Traverse City life has to offer. We are able to go home and see our family. We enjoy a wonderful life. So how am I to hear Jesus' parable this morning? I can't really identify with either the rich man or Lazarus. I don't wear fancy clothes like the rich man. My one suit is probably 10 years old. My favorite sweaters, as some of you have seen, are a little moth-eaten. I've only eaten at Stella's once. But I have never known suffering or want like Lazarus. Even in our leanest years growing up, I was rich by comparison. That's the challenge of our text this morning. Most of us are relatively rich and relatively poor, depending on who we are compared to. Some of us grew up poor and are now rich. Some of us grew up rich and are now poor. How are we to hear Jesus' words? Are they words of judgment? Are they words of hope? Where is the good news for us in this story of the rich man and Lazarus? For years, all I could hear in the parable was judgment and guilt. Even today, I'll watch a movie like The City of God and glimpse the violence and poverty in Rio. Or I'll watch a movie like The Constant Gardener or Hotel Rwanda and see what people endure in tribal Kenya or Rwanda. I'll watch movies like these, or I will listen to accounts of our mission co-workers in Africa or the Middle East and remember Jesus' story of the rich man and Lazarus and think, there is no way I am not going to hell. But that doesn't preach. And I don't think it's fair to Jesus' teaching. Yes, there is a clear warning. If we treat people like Lazarus, the way the rich man treated Lazarus, chances are we're going to hell. But this parable is about much more than judging the rich and vindicating the poor. At its heart, I'm not sure this parable is even about money. At its heart, I think this parable is about who we are and how we treat people, how we treat each other, rich or poor. Do we engage people? Do we take an interest in their lives? Do we treat them with compassion? Do we respond when they are in need? Do we even see them? The rich man did none of these things, and he was judged, but not for being rich. The rich man was judged for being heartless. He knew Lazarus's name. He knew Lazarus's plight. He walked by Lazarus every day but didn't see him. Beloved, I don't know anyone here who is like the rich man. But if in our heart of hearts we fear we are even a little like him, sometimes there is good news. It's too late for the rich man, but it's not too late for us. Jesus tells us there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. We are moved by Lazarus's suffering. That someone could be ignored for so long by so many, save the dogs who licked his sores and the angels who carried him from his torment, is unthinkable to us. The rich man's indifference is incomprehensible. To think a person could encounter such suffering at their door, yet turn a blind eye, is beyond us. Luke tells us the rich man was beyond rich. He dressed in splendid purple fabric from Tyre, fine linen from Egypt.
His sumptuous tables overflowed with exotic food. He had the means to free Lazarus from his torment if only he had the heart to see him. He had so many opportunities. Daily, Lazarus languished at his gate. The rich man could have embraced Lazarus as a brother, a child of God. Lazarus could have been his friend. The rich man could have shown compassion. He could have loved Lazarus as Christ loved him. He had so many opportunities, and it wouldn't have taken much. A little ointment for his sores, a little water for his thirst, even a little bread from his table would have made a big difference. He could have given Lazarus one of his robes or offered him a room in his home. If only he had the heart to see Lazarus languishing by his door. There are many things the rich man could have done for Lazarus, yet he did nothing because he could not see Lazarus languished and lived in a poverty that consumed the rich man as well. A great chasm was fixed between the rich man and his brother Lazarus. Luke tells us so great in this life was the chasm created by the rich man, his wealth and his indifference. It remained fixed in the next life. When Lazarus died, he was carried by angels to the bosom of Abraham, free from his torment. When the rich man died, the angels ignored him. Filled with agony, not unlike the agony of Lazarus, even Father Abraham could not comfort the rich man. Friends, at the end of the day, this story isn't about money. I don't even think it's about the afterlife. This story is about our lives and how we choose to live them. This story is about the great chasms we create between ourselves and others. The story is about generosity, having the heart to see the people around us. Seeing Lazarus would have given the rich man a chance to make him his friend. That he allows Lazarus to languish at his door is what makes the story tragic. Seeing Lazarus would have saved them both from their torment. The story isn't about the afterlife, but it serves as a warning. There are eternal consequences when in this life we ignore the needs of those near to us. There are eternal consequences when we don't have the heart to see. Jesus was telling this story to those who love power and privilege and money more than they loved people. Jesus was telling this story to those who, in God's name, built walls and separated themselves from people they believed were unclean and impure. Jesus was telling this story to Pharisees. Friends, we are not Pharisees. We are disciples. We are learning. God calls us into relationship. We are learning to love those with whom we share this life, even our enemies. We are learning to work together for justice and peace. We are learning to respond with compassion to those in need. We are learning to be friends again with God by befriending all of God's children, especially the poor and those who suffer. We are learning to see not with our eyes, but with our hearts. We are learning to love as Christ loves. The good news is it's not too late. We had a great Wednesday night connection. I think we had about 125. We had folks step up in the kitchen when Carol got called to the ER. Art was a rock star. It was standing room only in his class. I heard good things about John Walker and the Covenant class as well. But the guy who stole the show was Don Kunkel and his ministry, Recycle a Bicycle. Now, I don't know Don. I don't know if he's rich or poor. I don't even know if he's a Christian. But I'm calling his work with Recycle a Bicycle a ministry because Don sees with his heart. Don's story is amazing. I'm sorry if you missed it because I'm not going to do it justice. But for 6, 8, I don't know, maybe 10 years, I don't remember. For however long, this guy has been taking old bicycles, fixing them, hundreds of them, and giving them to people in need. Like the guy who had been walking 8 miles to get to work at Walmart. Or the woman who got a job the day she got a bicycle because now she had transportation. Or the woman who sat all day waiting for her AA meeting because it was too far to walk anywhere else. Don sees their need and is changing their lives. Unlike the rich man in Jesus' story, Don sees Lazarus. Beloved, this church has been seeing with its heart for a long time. Some of us see better than others. God knows many of you see better than I do. But the good news today is it's not too late for any of us to see a little better. Thanks be to God.